Hey, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Paul Pretty. I'm the teaching pastor at our Marion campus, and we had our official public launch this past Sunday. Super thankful and excited for that. No better day to do it than Easter Sunday. I hope you had a great time just celebrating the resurrection of Christ alongside brothers and sisters in Christ. Just an incredible day. Well, this past Sunday, I focused on John chapter 20, and as I was thinking through things this week and studying and just asking the Lord what it is he wanted me to bring to our people on this Easter Sunday, I was reminded of just an experience my wife and I had over the past couple of years. And so last year, my wife really started getting into growing plants. Okay. And so at the time, we were living in a really small apartment, like 750 square feet, something like that. We had two kids, one bedroom, just chaos, right? And so I come home from work one day. It's like February, you know, last year, not this past February, but the one before, so 2021. And there's some starter pots for plants, you know, and there's some flower seeds in there and some vegetable seeds. And I'm like, oh, cool, no big deal. Well, I come home the next day and there's a couple more pots, and then I come home the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and somehow the pots have just multiplied. It's as if, yeah, I don't know, the pots have propagated themselves. It's very confusing. And so again, a very small space, and suddenly it was as if every possible surface that you could have some pots, there were pots, and it made me insane. I'll be honest with you. I was like, this is very annoying. But a couple months later, I got to see sort of the benefit of all of that growing. I got to see the beauty of the flowers. And one day we actually had some vegetables for dinner that had been grown in our little apartment. And so in a sense, I got to see what all of that was for. And I realized, wait a second, maybe this was worth it. And so now fast forward to this year, right about February, all of a sudden these little starter pots start growing and coming up out of nowhere. And at this point, we had moved into our new house. It's three stories, great, you know, so much more space. And, you know, I start seeing these starter pots come up here, come up there, and then, you know, continue to multiply. And I'm getting a little bit annoyed, you know, a little bit. And then one day I walk into our bedroom, and in front of our bedroom window is this massive four shelf wire rack, each shelf hanging from the shelf are these shop lights brighter than the sun. And I'm sure our neighbors think we're growing something other than vegetables and flowers. It's what we're growing though. And I had this thought of, you know what, because I experienced sort of the first fruits of our foray into plant growing, I was actually, because I knew what to expect, I was able to sort of accept the nature of the plant takeover at our home this year. And I tell that sort of convoluted story because it connected to what I was teaching on Sunday. So I went through John chapter 20, and what we see in John 20, it's the resurrection account given by John. And we see these three interactions, and there's something really unique about these interactions that I think connected to the story I hope that I just told. And so what we see is that Mary Magdalene, she is totally distressed. She is weeping, and it makes complete sense. I mean, she was there at the crucifixion. She's seen the bloodied and beaten body of Christ. And he would have been her only hope. I mean, he's the one who cast out seven demons from her. She is completely beside herself in sorrow. She turns around. There's this interaction. There's two angels. It's an amazing story. Read it, John 20. And she eventually realizes Jesus is there. She falls at his feet. The text sort of gives us that picture. And she goes from sorrow to peace. Now, you jump forward then into the next interaction with the disciples. And the disciples, John and Peter specifically, they had seen that Jesus' body was gone earlier in John 20. They seem to believe that he's been resurrected from the dead. And yet the text tells us they've locked themselves in a room and they're fearful. And Jesus appears before them. And the first thing he says to them is, "Peace be with you." He then shows them the holes in his hands and the hole in his side. And once again, as they then realize who he is, Jesus says to them, "Peace be with you." And then you go forward a little bit more in this third interaction with Thomas, and we always call him Doubting Thomas because he had gone out to get a loaf of bread or something, and he had missed the initial interaction with the disciples, and so he doubts it. He says, no way, I'm never going to believe this. And Jesus makes him wait 8 days, which is just sort of painful, and it's just a note that when we're supposed to be with our community in Christ, we should be, because we're going to miss out if we're not. And so 8 days later, Jesus appears to him, and the first thing he says, peace be with you. And then eventually Thomas sees, and I think it's clear that he receives peace. And so when we zoom out and we look at these three interactions, what we see is that Jesus' resurrection means we can have peace. And we can have peace here and now. And if you look throughout all of Scripture, what you see are these different promises. Romans 6:6, that we are no longer slaves to sin. You go to Philippians 4, and this idea that when we present our petitions to God with thanksgiving, we will receive the peace of God that will guard our hearts. And there's these promises about the peace of God. And ultimately, though, where I wanted to point us, the peace of God we experience here and now, and that I think was shown throughout John 20, it's just a first fruit of the peace with God that we experience through Christ, and that what Romans 5:1 would say, that we're no longer enemies of God, but we have received peace with God through Jesus Christ. We are now justified. And so that's again where really things connect to that story about planting flowers. You see, when we experience peace with God here and now, it gives us joy. It gives us hope, and it also helps us look forward to what's to come, an ultimate sort of unity with God through Christ. And so that's where we really landed with things, that the resurrection means we can have peace. It means we can have peace here and now, and a bigger peace. All of that overflows from the peace of God that Jesus gives us through his sacrificial payment for our sins on the cross. Through faith in him, we receive peace now. We receive peace with God, and we'll receive unity and peace with God in all of eternity. And so to me, that was just such a good reminder. And I pray it's a good reminder for you that Easter means you can have peace here and now, and it means you have ultimate peace to look forward to. I just want to take a moment here and pray and praise God for his goodness to us. And then I want to encourage you to pray as well. And I also want to say thanks so much for joining us on the Drivecast today. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you give us peace through Jesus. Jesus, thank you that you came and lived and died so that we could have peace with God. And thank you that we don't have to wait for any of that. But we can receive some of that peace here and now. We can receive peace from the bondage of sin here and now. We can receive peace knowing that you're in control, that our sins are paid for, that we have been united with the Father. And God, I ask that you would allow that to give us peace today. Jesus, thank you for your payment. Thank you. Thank you for Easter, that you walked out of the grave. Father, help us love you. Help us understand what your peace is, and help us be transformed by it. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.